Kids learn by having the same thing repeated over and over again. And that is part of the reason why they like books so much is they never change. They're the same explanation over and over and over again. And that's the same with a visual chart. Like we might explain things a different way each time we're saying it. And to have something that is visual, that is hanging there and never changes, that they can reference over and over and over again, really helps them master the idea of a routine.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my
Welcome to Mr. Chaz's Leadership, Parenting, and Teaching podcast, where I introduce you to the people that can help you on your parenting, teaching, or leadership journey. And today we have an interesting, special, fun, exciting episode for you where we are going to be talking about a lot. Before we even get into all of this, and we're going to be talking about routines and scheduling and how to help children transition, which is probably one of the most common challenges that parents and teachers have. How do I get my child from point A to point B? And one of the reasons is that they just don't have the executive skills like, you know, like flexibility, working memory, impulse control. Like these skills reside in the part of the brain that is in the very beginning stages of developing. So it makes these transitions, you know, getting them to be flexible and stop what they're doing and stop focusing on one thing and focus on a different thing. It makes these things difficult and challenging and rough and hard, not just for children, but also for parents, right? For whoever the adult is who's in charge of caring for this little human. And so we're going to talk about that and how to really navigate these situations. But there's someone who I wanted to come in and talk about these situations, and someone who has been through a lot of transition with her child. And really, from talking to you, Sarah, like the transition seemed like they're continuously happening. You're still navigating and managing them. So I think you're a perfect person to talk to about routines and rhythms and schedules. But before we talk about the content, I want to know about you and who you are and how you kind of came into this work. I know you're an author. Tell us about you.
Sure. Thank you very much, Mr. Chaz, for that awesome introduction. So I started my parenthood in a really difficult way. My daughter was 18 months old when I got a divorce, and she had really just overwhelming anxiety to the point where I honestly didn't know what to do. She was afraid of shadows on the ground. She was afraid of other children, sand. Like, I really had a difficult time taking her anywhere without her just completely falling apart. And she was always one of those little kids who, you know, you ask her to, you know, stop playing in 5 minutes and start cleaning up, and she's just like falling apart. And I felt a little bit out of my depth. My background was psychology, but I never studied children because I had no idea how fascinating they are. And oh my gosh, had I had any idea, that would have definitely been my area of study because they're fascinating. So what I did was at 2 years old, I found a child therapist and I said, help. I don't know what to do, you know, with this level of anxiety. And so she really helped me understand brain development and, you know, how to basically hold her through all of her anxiety, validating her feelings, etc. And it was super helpful. But the one thing that really stuck out to me and really changed the course of my life was that when this therapist was going on vacation, she took out this like piece of cardstock and she'd made a calendar on it. And she was saying, okay, you know, we are going to see each other this week and this week. And then this week I'm not going to be here. And so the next week I'll come back. But this day you're going to do this with your mom instead. And I thought, huh, why am I not using a calendar in our day-to-day life? Because one of the things that was the most confusing to my daughter was when she was going to be seeing her dad next. And at like 2.5 at this point, she didn't understand the concept of time. I was having to explain, you know, oh, you're going to see daddy in 3 sleeps, but it would be like 5 minutes past and she'd ask me the same question. Because as I learned, you know, kids don't have that ability to schedule their own lives and understand, you know, how things are laid out from a scheduling point of view. And so I created a custody calendar that was for children, because most of the things that were out there at the time were aimed at parents and trying to get them to get along better by scheduling, you know, their timeshare. But I thought, like, everybody keeps talking about putting the kids first and they're not really doing that because they're not talking to the children about what's going on. So I just decided, hey, I'm going to try this. My background was in illustration. And so I just made these like illustrated magnets of me and of her dad. And I just put them up and it just like totally transformed our days. She was way less anxious about when she was going to see her dad next. She would reference the calendar. I was really shocked by how much it changed the life of a toddler. And so I decided, you know, if this was helpful for me, maybe it would be helpful for other people. And so I just started selling these like really like not super great quality things that I was making. And that was how it started. And my daughter is 11 now. So it's been going on for a long time. The second part of my company, which is Mighty and Bright, was a daily schedule so that she would understand, you know, what her morning and evening routines looked like, because I was noticing she was having trouble transitioning still from like, okay, we're going to daycare at this time and these are the things that need to happen first. So preparing her for those things. So introducing what was basically a routine chart really helped with the other aspect of it. And so things just went on like that for like 5 years. And then when she was 6, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I was 34. I had no idea what to do. But the first thing that I thought to do was, well, I have to figure out how to talk to my daughter about this. And as a child who had a lot of anxiety and was very attached to me, like I was her person, I really didn't want to scare her or make her think I was going to die or, you know, but I knew just from my background and talking to her about divorce that she really needed to know what was going on. Because if you don't talk to your kids in an open and honest way, they're going to start making up stories about what's going on because they can sense those changes in the air. And I knew I needed to talk to her about it. So I started ordering a bunch of books because I love books as visual, you know, explanations of different things. I think a lot of parents reach for a book when something is changing. And the books that I got about cancer were not what I was looking for. I really wanted to explain the science of cancer in a age-appropriate way so that she wouldn't be scared of it. And I wasn't making like all these weird analogies that would confuse her more. And so they didn't really have anything like that. So I just ended up explaining it to her myself and just trying to explain, you know, that our bodies are made of cells and that sometimes a broken one gets made and it's doing something that it's not supposed to do. And making a whole bunch of copies of itself. And I ended up turning it into a book, and the book immediately went to number one bestseller in the category on Amazon because it was really needed. The number of young parents with young kids that are being diagnosed with cancer just seems to be going up, and there was really nothing like this. So it was really affirming to me because I had immediately gone on disability for a year during my treatment. And this was how I kept myself busy, was writing this book. And to know that it was helping other families really, it made it made everything kind of worth it. I mean, aside from being alive, of course. Yeah. And so then I created a calendar that went alongside it, because that was the thing that I kept hearing from other parents, is like the chaos of treatment is really confusing to kids. So, you know, how could I turn this into something that takes a really abstract situation and makes it more concrete for kids? And I was like, well, I've already done that once before with divorce. Like, how do I turn that into something for cancer? So I did, and it has helped hundreds of families. And I now have one for children with cancer, also for their siblings, because a lot of the time when a child is diagnosed with cancer, their sibling is just like thrown into this chaos and has no idea what to expect and often feel alone and kind of abandoned. So to create something for them was really important. And so now, the company has turned into more of like a mental health sort of thing, because so much of this is related to mental health and making sure that our kids feel safe. And I have written 9 books now. So it's really, and we moved twice. So like lots of transitions in our life that this calendar and daily chart have helped my child through, but also lots of other families too.
Yeah. You know, like I'm thinking a divorce and then, you know, a cancer diagnosis are some of the, you know, largest transitions that someone can go through, mm-hmm. a family can go through. And then not, you know, there's that whole, there's a larger transition, but then there's those, all those micro, those smaller transitions within those transitions that are, you know, that are, I'll say, not always the same, right? Things change, right? Mm-hmm. With, you know, a cancer diagnosis or with a divorce or, you know, going back and forth from, you know, one house to the other house and all those things. And sometimes they're not as easy. It's not always, you know, 1 week it's this way, the next week it's going to be the other way. Sometimes it's a lot more complicated for that. Mm-hmm. And so for a child who already struggles with time and transition, this is, you know, this is another layer of stress that, you know, you've had to experience. So, mm-hmm. you know, I definitely thank you for using your experience and what you're learning to support others who are going through, you know, challenges. Maybe they're, you know, I imagine people are being supported that have challenges that are nothing like your challenges, right? Mm-hmm. It could, you know, it's not a divorce transition. They're just trying to get their child from out of the bed and into the car, right? Yeah,
totally. Which everything is relative, right? Because I started with that and I was like, I am going to lose my mind. Why is this so hard?
Right. And that's actually what I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned when your child was 2, you had kind of first time you'd used a visual schedule, mm-hmm. Or a visual planner. What was it? Was it a daily or was it a weekly?
I introduced the weekly calendar to her. And then the daily one was the next logical step. And so I would say probably we did about 3 weeks with the weekly one before I kind of created my own routine chart to help her with those daily things. And to your point, when things are changing and the routine is changing, like that's even more of a reason to make it visual.
Yeah. Why? So let me ask you this, right? You got these things on. I actually have one with me. I know the people listening out there can't see it, but you got these things in a line and you can kind of see this goes after the other, this goes after the other. Why visual? Why do you think it's important to have a visual schedule? Why can't I just say, hey, tomorrow, this is what we're going to be doing. Tomorrow you're gonna put your shoes on, you're gonna get in the car, we're gonna go to school, you're gonna come back, we're gonna go outside, we're gonna have dinner, you're gonna do some independent play, we're gonna do bath time, then you're gonna do PJs, and then you're gonna go read a book, and then you're gonna go to bed. Like, why can't I just verbally say that?
Well, first off, I'm an adult with a fully developed brain, and I don't even remember where you started. So there's a couple of reasons. The first being that, like, keeping that stuff in your brain is not something that children are capable of doing. But even if they were, trying to keep track of that is really stressful. And when you think about adults, like, I started my day by making a list of the things that I had to do to get it out of my head so that it was not swirling around in there, causing me stress that I might forget something. And when we have kids and we are their, like, we are their person, the one that is explaining all of this stuff to them, and they don't have a way to, like, reference stuff themselves, like, they're going to keep asking you over and over and over again. They're probably going to notice that you're starting to get irritated. And so that's like not great for your relationship, because they're like, I really need to know this when I don't want to ask because I'm going to get in trouble. You know, so it's good for your relationship. But secondly, you know, kids learn differently than adults do. Kids learn by having the same thing repeated over and over again. And that is part of the reason why they like books so much, is they never change. They're the same explanation over and over and over again. And that's the same with a visual chart. Like, we might explain things a different way each time we're saying it. And to have something that is visual, that is hanging there and never changes, that they can reference over and over and over again, really helps them master the idea of a routine. And routines are a huge part of mental health. Like, this has been studied, like, extensively, that having a routine is something that your brain doesn't have to process over and over again. Like, if we're going to work every morning and we know what we need to do, we're doing it on autopilot. And that really helps us to, like, have less that is swirling around in our brains. So it's huge.
Yeah. And we have a routine, it's less work that our brain has to do to, you know, to get there, right? To get from point A to point B, right? And we can spend our body resources on other things than trying to figure out how to get to how we're going to get there, or when we're going to get there, when it's the routine and just how we do things. Like, now we can use our resources for other things. And you think about children with very limited resources in their body and brain, and their brain is the very beginning stages of developing. They need all the resources that they can get to, you know, to navigate life. And I just want to, I mentioned executive skills earlier, and, you know, for people, I just want to name the executive skills, and just so that people can kind of think about, like, you know, understanding that children, like, the executive skills, they're not capable of fully using them. Like, they're, it's the very beginning stages, and your that their prefrontal is not fully developed until 25, 26. So now imagine where, like, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old is. And I'm going to name some executive skills. And as I name, you're like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, they definitely struggle. My young child definitely struggles with some of these, if not all of these. And adding the visual schedule can kind of help. And I actually also point out some specific ones that are important, where the visual schedule will help us. So there's an acronym to kind of help your brain remember. You can kind of visualize what it is. It's A, top wife makes good tea. And so A, attention, time management, organization, prioritization, working memory, impulse control, flexibility, empathy, metacognition, goal achievement, task initiation, emotional regulation. These, I know that if you have a young child, that they're struggling with some, if not a lot of these, but it's specifically working memory, to the ability to be able to remember that whole list of things that I said, the whole routine, right? The ability to actually keep those thoughts in their mind, it's a lot harder for them to do. Their capacity for that is limited. Flexibility, moving from one thing to another thing. Like, I'm focused, I'm doing what I'm doing, and I have to switch. That is something that children struggle with too. And we see it in transitions when you ask them to stop what they're doing and to do something else. Another thing that is really important for us to just be aware of is things like goal achievement and task initiation, you know, and now understanding that this is where children struggle. We have now the opportunity to say, well, you struggle, so you better figure it out. And I'm going to be upset and yell at you and until you gain these skills and you're able to be successful. Or we can take a different approach and say, I see that you're struggling with this. These are things that you struggle with. Also see it as something developmentally appropriate to struggle with. No reason to be upset or angry for something the child's doing that they should be doing. And then taking steps to support them and build those skills. So that kind of leads me into my next question of how, like, so you have we got the daily schedule right here, right? We got this little, how do you introduce it? We know now it's important to, a visual schedule can be helpful. We understand a little bit like why it's helpful, why we need the visual schedule. But a lot of us might get stuck on, okay, but how do we actually do that in real life? What does that look like? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, so I designed these specifically to achieve a couple of things. The first is I call my calendars connection calendars. And the reason is because I want parents or caregivers and their children to feel connected and not make this feel like it's yet another thing the parent is making the kid do that they don't want to do. And so these are designed with really like fun colors and pictures that are like, kids really like them. And they're reusable stickers so that you can together. And so what I recommend is when someone gets one of these visual schedules is it comes with a sticker sheet of reusable static cling stickers and these like really beautiful glass magnets. And you sit down with your child and you let them put the stickers on the magnets themselves. And I can't tell you the number of parents who are like, well, I don't really want Jimmy to do that because he does not going to put it on straight and it's really going to bother me. And I'm like, I totally get it. Yeah. That is why you let Jimmy do it. And then later you can adjust it. They are totally restickable.
So that they are.
Yes.
They are restickable. I had to restick them and it surprised me how easily they came off and they went back on. And I was expecting it to like tear a little bit, but like it is actually, I'm new to the static clean game clearly, but I was pleasantly surprised by that. But go ahead, keep talking.
I wanted them to be like a durable thing that parents and kids could do together that would help kind of support the ongoing use of this. Because a big thing when you're introducing any kind of thing like this to your kids is getting their buy-in so that they, and you might be thinking like, oh, well, you know, he's four. But no, kids want to have fun with stuff. They want to know like that they own it and it's theirs. And you're not like in the case of the weekly connection calendar, I always am telling parents, do not put the cat's vet appointment on the calendar. Like this is owned by your child. It is their day. It is their week. This is from a developmental point of view, like the world revolves around them. And this calendar is there to show them their world. So you put this thing together with your child, and then you let them, you're going to select the things that need to be done in the mornings and the evenings. And then you let them choose, you know, pretty much you let them choose the order in which it happens. And you can just say, you know, hey, you know, we're going to put this together and it's going to show what your mornings are like and what your evenings are like. And, you know, these are the things that we have agreed that we need to do every morning and evening. What order do you want to do them in? And then you can let them, you know, choose them. And obviously, if they're saying that they want to put on their pajamas before they take a bath, you can be like, that sounds like a fun idea. However, what do you think is going to happen if you put on your pajamas and get in the bathtub? Are you going to be wet? are your jammies going to be wet? You know, so you can kind of have like an ongoing conversation with them about it. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. once the whole thing is set up, you can put it in a place that's at their height. I like to put it in a common. So ours was in the kitchen, but you can put it in the bathroom, or you can, it's magnetic on the back. So you can put it on the fridge if you want to, but it also has these little push pin wall hooks. So you can hang it from these little holes at the top so that it's in whatever place makes sense for your child. But then, you know, you're introducing it to them. You're saying, you know, this is the one that means go potty. This is the one that means, you know, brush your teeth. And you're going to say, you know, we're going to go through this together. And pretty soon you're going to know what to do next. And so you can say, you know, what are you supposed to do next? Go check your chart. And then that chart becomes, you're not the nag anymore. Like, you are co-parenting with this inanimate object. And you begin to love it.
And you know, like, what I love about it, and I love about that, and like about giving children the powers, because that is a lot of times where their struggle in transitioning comes from. I mean, you think about how much control that we have over, you know, children and what they do, right? We control what they do, you know, when they do it, what they eat, you know, where they go, what, you know, friends they have, what school they go to, the clothes that they have, often, you know, when they're allowed to wear certain clothes, and all the, we have so much power. And we do, a lot of times we do need to have power over a lot of things, because they're young children with immature brains and they're still developing, and but that doesn't make it any easier to, you know, to have this feeling of powerlessness over your life, mm-hmm. over your world and kind of where you go. It doesn't necessarily make it easier. And with like a visual schedule, you're able to do a little bit of collaboration, right? Now you still control what options there are, and certain things will be certain options in certain parts of the day, but you know, there's power in knowing what to expect and to be able to go to that chart at their eye level and be like, oh, this is what's coming next, or this is what's going to happen later. You know, after I come home from school, we're going to have, you know, it's going to be one-on-one time, or it's going to be, you know, I'm going to have independent time, independent free play time. So they can look forward to that, and they come back and then, you know, they're looking forward to their toy or the sensory experience that they're going to have. And that's also time maybe you're making dinner, but all that stuff is, instead of it feeling like, oh, this is what's happening, this is what you need to do, it's like, this is what we have planned for the day. It's so much more collaborative, and the child knowing that going into it, not only can get excited about it, but also can, like, that is where their power comes from, and actually knowing what's coming next. And again, remember me saying earlier, because they don't, you know, struggle with working memory, you simply just saying it doesn't, you know, help them. It doesn't give them the power in knowing what's coming, right? It's just like the, oh yeah, in three sleeps, but then working memory, the lack of working memory kicks in, is like, is it going to happen in 5 minutes? Now? You have that visual schedule. And the other thing that it doesn't benefit for us, and why, like, as an adult, like, why this is really helpful for us, is because, and you alluded to this too, I just want to hammer down on this point, because I don't think people realize that, like, yes, we get tired of repeating ourselves and saying, like, what's going to happen and expectations and things are going to happen all the time. And children will ask a million times a day, especially around like 3, 4, 5 age group. They're asking so many questions. And we will get tired of repeating ourselves. Most people will. It's normal. But you know what? Your visual schedule doesn't get tired. They will be there reminding, you know, and you can refer them to the visual schedule when they ask questions, right? And so you're not repeating. And then you're giving them the skill to use that visual schedule and to go to it and to check mm-hmm. on and whenever they forget or they want to know what's coming next. Now they're like learning to use, to refer to that visual schedule to plan for their day and to be able to kind of process that. Yeah, and one more thing I'm kind of getting a little ahead of myself here, but just another thought that I know something like visual, we're talking a lot about how it benefits the child and communicating to the child, but honestly, like you said earlier, we all do better when we kind of know what to expect and kind of like when we have the routine in place, you know. And as a parent, you're thinking about a million different things at once, you know. The routine takes, it's one less thing to have to constantly be thinking about. Mm-hmm. And just in that, like, it frees up your resources too, to, you know, be a, you know, a partner, to be a mother, a father, to be a daughter, a son, a brother, a friend. So yeah, I'm a really big fan of visual schedules, and me being someone who has ADHD, like, I need those like visuals to remind me. It's even as an adult, it's something that I appreciate having. Yeah, what I know, I'm just kind of rambling on, but what are your thoughts?
How would you cope if you lost your phone? That is what I always think about. Like, if I didn't have my phone's calendar to rely on, I would not be here talking to you. I would be like, oh, I think that was at 1:15 because it was a different time zone. You know, like, I don't cope well with, you know, not having that structure. Structure is like such a big part of the way that we function as humans. So it's just like, to make that in a way that kids can understand, they're just going to cope so much better. And then as somebody who has gone through a significant number of changes in which my child is not coping well, her coping is like directly related to how well I am coping, because my anxiety gets higher when her anxiety gets higher. Like, it just makes everything so much more peaceful. And post cancer, that was my number one goal, is how do I bring more peace and more joy into my life and less of this like stressful, like rushing anxiety, because that is not how I want to be living. And I am really happy with how much we've been able to just simplify the things that we are paying attention to and the things that we're doing. And this really helps.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about like consistency of care, you know, our ability to provide, to be consistent with children, you know, not even just with a routine, but like emotionally, a lot of times weighs on the routine. Think about how, like, you know, one thing that I go back to that I think everyone can relate to, because we all went through it, was think about beginning of the pandemic, right? We didn't know what to expect. We were thrown off our routine. We didn't know what was going to happen, how like dysregulated so many people felt, like we weren't at our best. And, you know, even just concerned, like, what's going to happen the next day when I go into work? Like, it's, you know, we're not doing things. We're doing things virtually now. What is that even going to look like? Am I even going to be in the same job? You know, am I going to be in the same role? Is there going to be reorganization? What is that reorganization of the company is going to look like? All that stuff builds a lot of anxiety in us, and it does not put us at our best. And so, yeah, this is, I mean, I think, and this is something that a lot of schools will do. You'll see in classrooms that they'll have like visual schedules in schools. Mm-hmm. But a lot of parents don't have them in their household. And the thing is, schools know that like there's a lot of children, and you know, in as much as you try to keep consistency and the routine of things, you know, things are adjusted. Sometimes there are special events that happen, and everyone's individual like lives are different. So like coming in, like we can all be on the same page of like, this is what's happening now. This is where we're at in the day, because even that child may come at a different point of the day. They usually come before circle time, and now they came after circle time, and they'll ask, like, they'll come up to me and ask like, when's circle time? And like, bro, you came at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. After a doctor's appointment, like, circle time has been like, you didn't even have lunch here. But it's that sense of time that they struggle with. And just the visual, it's just a way, it's a way to communicate time and that rhythm and the routine. And you don't have to be like perfect, like on the dot, like minute to minute at all. I would actually advise against that.
Yeah, don't do that.
But it's more important about like, okay, like this comes after this, comes after this, comes after this.
Yeah, the order and rather than the time.
Right, right. You know, what? I guess, okay, here's my question. So what are some of the things that you were like, I know, so we made, and actually, this is a perfect time to talk about it. So, and we didn't really mention this overtly in this podcast episode yet, but so you, with your background, you reached out to me, and why don't you tell the story?
Sure.
This is your time to shine.
So I love you, Mr. Chaz, and I follow you on Instagram and on TikTok, and one day I was just in your link in your bio, and I noticed that you were recommending a like Velcro routine chart, and it was sold out. And I thought, huh, I wonder if Mr. Chaz would be open to like co-creating a really like unique daily schedule with me. And so I just thought, you know what? If you don't ask, the answer is always no. So, so I sent you a message on Instagram and I basically just said, hi there, Mr. Chaz. I'm a totally big fangirl and I know that you are into visual schedules and you recommended this one on Amazon and it is sold out. And I'm wondering if you might be into the idea of co-creating one because we can make it whatever you would want to recommend and really, you know, bring in your values and your methods of teaching so that instead of just saying, okay, you know, first comes, you know, going potty, then comes washing your hands, then comes, you know, brushing your teeth and going to sleep, you know, we could incorporate some of those things that you are teaching families about emotional regulation or, you know, helping them with transitions. What do you think? And you wrote back and you were like, huh, let's chat. And that was the beginning of us like collaborating to make this really amazing visual schedule that I am so pumped about. It is so cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. And with this, you know, we've had a lot of conversations kind of going back and forth and just thinking about how we can make this schedule really helpful for, you know, parents out there. And we, I think this is something unique that is not out there with some additional resources, a part of it, because, mm-hmm. you know, the visual schedule is important. And we talked about all of the reasons, you know, why a visual schedule and communicating it visually can be helpful for children. And there are other components to it too. Like I mentioned, one of the executive skills why children struggle is emotional regulation, right? And in these moments of transition, you know, it's often not just the child who's struggling with emotional regulation. It's often us as adults too, which make the transition even more challenging. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to address those things too, some of those kind of like other things that aren't normally addressed in a visual schedule. The way that we have outlined it, and just to kind of help you, so when you're looking at the visual schedule, some of them are color-coded of activities that are kind of regulating, and just so that when you're using the visual schedule and you're trying to kind of figure out order, or maybe you have a routine and you're trying to figure out like why, you know, this part of the routine is like such a struggle, or they always have like a tantrum or they fall out or they refuse to put their shoes on or whatever it is at this point, you know, you can look at your schedule and you can kind of see like, is there, you know, am I asking a lot back after back, you know, thing after thing after thing after thing after thing? Can I potentially break it up with something that's more regulating, something that'll kind of reconnect us in between and kind of prime the brain for willingness throughout the rest of the, you know, routine rhythm of the day? And so, you know, that's just one of the things of a lot of things that kind of went into the thought process of creating this visual schedule for the world, for really, and honestly, I say for the world, but really, as of right now, it is a very limited edition kind of thing. So if it's something that you're wanting, I really suggest like to go to the link in my bio or whatever, go and purchase it now, soonish, because it will run out and it will definitely take some time to restock if we choose to do that. But first we wanted to just kind of create this resource. And as you purchase it, we'll continuously get feedback and improve it. And there's a QR code. I love QR codes. There's a QR code that kind of comes with it that has kind of some additional Mr. Chaz resources. And I'm kind of popping up, talking to you, helping you with maybe some of the emotional regulation parts. And so if transitions are something that you struggle with and you're looking for something, we've created this for you. Sarah, you have anything else to say to add about the visual schedule?
I just think it's really cool that it's not just a visual schedule, but it's also got this like very tailored educational piece to it that's like broken down. It's like basically a special page just for people who have purchased the schedule so that they understand how to use it and also are can like learn some bite-sized things that just are going to make your day easier with your kids. Because I think as parents, we're so super overwhelmed. And, you know, I just go back to like every transition I've been through in my life, I have probably bought at least one parenting book, usually two, on the subject. And I get through maybe the first chapter before I'm like, I am too overwhelmed to do this. Yeah. And like, that has been my like goal with my whole, with all of Mighty and Bright, is just how do we make this actually accessible to parents and make it so your life is easier and not another thing on your to-do list to do that is not fun and you can't fit into your life. And so I just love how this turned out. It is so much better than I ever would have, you know, even dreamed it to be. I'm super excited about it. I think it'll really
help. And I don't think it's as great as it is. You know, my whole thing is like, avoid being a perfectionist, be an improvement. The goal isn't to be perfect every day. The goal is to improve a little every day. I see that even with the resources that there, I may add more things because you get the little QR code. So you purchase the product, but there are, you know, there's kind of like an element of the product that we can kind of update and add to it. So definitely, so cool. I think it's definitely, it's something that I haven't seen out there. Like I very much believe in a visual schedule. Just like Sarah said, like I was already telling, you know, parents and teachers to get a visual schedule. So this is something I already believed in. And now I'm excited to like take this resource that I already believed in and take it to the next level, and put something out in the world that's going to be even more helpful for especially parents and support, parents, because parents really do need the support. And, you know, Sarah and I, we're here for you. We got your back, and, we're excited for you to use it and to hear just how life-changing it is. And Also, too, if there's anything about it once you purchase it that you think can be improved on it, please send me a message. I definitely want to hear it and see it because now that's how we improve. That's how we get better. Mm-hmm. So that's the last thing I want to say. I guess the last thing we to say is like where to actually get this product. It's going to be linked in my bio. It's already. So actually, no. So, okay, funny. This like little director's kind of whatever. But I put on my social media today, like, oh, like I have an announcement, like, and there's a hint on my profile page. And on my profile page, it's a very tiny hint. There's a little magnet.
Awesome.
I just add a little magnet. I didn't do anything. A little magnet. And then in already linked in my bio right now is the link to purchase this.
Sweet.
But I haven't announced it. So I wonder if I also haven't even looked if anyone's figured out the hints. So it'll be funny to see what people say.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to be it's like a little scavenger hunt.
That's awesome. You're so fun.
But yeah, it's gonna be linked in my bio until at least until it runs out. So if it's not linked in my bio anymore, that probably means it's sold out. And I also will also put the link in this podcast episode. So if you just go on the show notes, the link will be right there. And
you I'll can also go to
on my stories and stuff like that.
You can just go to mightyandbright.com/MrChaz.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. There it is. That's the link. All right, Sarah, before we wrap up, any last things you want to say to the world, to the audience?
Just be gentle on yourself. Parenting can be difficult for both you and your kids. And you got this. It's not about perfection. It's just about building that connection with your kids.
Love it. Not even going to add anything to it. Thank you so much for coming on and collaborating with me. And this was fun. And I'm so glad. This is also a really informative podcast too. Whether you purchase it or not, I think this is probably, I hope this has been helpful. And I hope everyone has a great day. And we'll say a little bye.
Bye.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?